Please listen with me for the reading from the Gospels of John and Thompson. You may read along if you wish, as the scriptures are printed in the back of your bulletin. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus said, I am the light that is over all things. I am the all. The all came forth from me, and to me the all has come. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said, I am from the one who is whole. I was granted some of that which is my Father. For this reason, I say, one who is whole will be filled with light, but one who is fragmented will be filled with darkness. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to pray with me, if you will. God of grace, may the words of my mouth, may the thoughts and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Week before last, I made a trip back to Texas. It was the first trip back in 6 years. So it was interesting to see which thoughts and memories would surface as I drove further and further south. One evening, as I was walking along the surf of Padre Island, the songs from the words from a song that I had learned at a church retreat came to my mind. Hadn't thought about it for many years, but it made sense there. The song begins with a refrain, have you seen Jesus? My Lord, he's here in plain view. Take a look. Open your eyes. He'll show it to you. And the verses continue. Have you ever stood in the ocean with the white foam at your feet and the endless thundering motion? Then you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you ever looked at the sunset with the sky mellowing red and the clouds suspended like feathers? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. I stood there with white foam at my feet and the sky mellowing red overhead, and indeed, I could see Jesus incarnate in creation before me. It was interesting that that song came to me. The retreat that it sprang out of was a rather unique setting. They develop a culture of their own in this retreat setting that spawned several throughout decades. They have a code word that they use to greet one another who have participated on the retreat, and they have certain practices that are developed to help the pilgrims experience the retreat as a certain way. And I would say their theology is probably pretty much in the middle, and the language is probably a little bit to the right of center. But it bubbled to my mind from days gone by in light of the Gnostic Gospels that I had been reading that afternoon, and it resounded with all authenticity, that the two would come together and be so true according to different experiences in different times. And that is really reflective of the early church. Folks who were beginning the Jesus movement in the first and second century following the execution of Jesus, they were very different from one another. They were in different cultures and different mindsets. Even within the same town, there were great differences on some of the gatherings. They did their best to begin to formulate words to talk about their experiences, their understandings of what it meant to follow in the way of Jesus, their understanding of the teachings and the remembrances of Jesus, and their own listening for God's Spirit to lead them and discern for them. And they all found words as best they could, and some of the words that one community used sound a lot like the words of another community, even though they might have meant something very different to one another. The church grew out of that rich diversity of understanding. There was no one right way or one authority with all the answers or one book to memorize. There was a diverse and a varied, a richness in learnings and in teachings. And 200 or 300 years later, one voice became more prominent and the majority voice, but the other voice, the minority, became quieter and quieter until it was silent. It doesn't mean that the voice of the minority is not valuable. It does not mean that the voice of all cannot still be heard. It doesn't necessarily mean that one was right and the rest were all wrong. Perhaps it's different. And so one group, the one that became the majority, they understood that God and humanity were of two very different substances. They understood that God was divine and humanity was separated from the divinity by a great chasm, and that our humanity simply could not cross to the divine. And they understood that Jesus came as a unique being, a one of a kind, a one that could stand in both worlds, the divine and the human, and somehow cross that barrier. They understood that Jesus was that one, the one to save us from the separation. There were other early followers who used different language and different images and understood it somewhat differently. They grasped that image in Genesis that says that humans are made in the image of God. And they embraced that notion that humans were created in the likeness of God. But it was a likeness that they said that we've forgotten, that we had been lulled into this state of drowsiness or sleepiness or unconsciousness, that the world had taken us away from remembering that we were made in the image of God. And so they emphasized more of a search, of a remembering, of a returning to the trueness, the pureness that is within. And as a way of knowing, once we began to grow into that, then we could know more about the Creator who made us. Their thoughts were kind of like the notion of studying a piece of art and learning about the artist, of studying a sculpture or a painting or a musical composition and going into it to the point that you can begin to get a sense about the one who sculpted and wrote and created and painted. And they spoke of Jesus as the one who offers the way of awakening, the way of enlightenment, the way of coming back to that realization of being made in the image of God, in the likeness of the divine. They spoke of Jesus more in terms, instead of saving us from our sins, saving us from our ignorance of who we are, of saving us from our confusion and our slumber, and waking us up as a spiritual guide to take us on this path. The way of crossing to the divine was through the way of Jesus. In both of them, this nuances of difference, perhaps. For them, Jesus was not of a different substance altogether from the rest of us, but that Jesus was able to show us what it was like to be fully awakened. And as he became fully awakened, to be in the divine and to be caught up in the divine. And when we awaken to this image of Christ, this God within us and within all others, we live differently. These Christians use many metaphors. Ignorance or drunkenness or sleepiness. For them, our sin is that we're asleep. And Christ comes to wake us up. In the Gospel of Truth, it says that ignorance, not knowing, brought about anguish and terror, and the anguish grew like a fog, and it was so dense so that no one was able to see, and people live unaware of their true selves, and they have no root. And the Gospel of Truth declares that this kind of living is like living in a nightmare. And Jesus offers a way to wake up out of the nightmare, shows us the way to wake up, that Jesus is the light that can wake us up. We heard it in the scriptures that were read today, both in the scriptures of the Gospel of John and the scriptures in the Gospel of Thomas. John was incorporated into the church-authorized scriptures, but Thomas was excluded, but they both speak a great deal of this image of light and darkness. Many believe that John was also a Gnostic. His writings weren't included because they didn't quite push the envelope against the establishment, against the majority at the time, or they were so dense that they were thought safe enough to pass on. And John wrote in his gospel, "What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all the people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." In John's gospel, Jesus goes on to say, "I am the light of the world, and whoever follows will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light of life is a central image in this gospel of John. And the gospel of Thomas reads, "The one who is whole is filled with light, but the one who is fragmented is filled with darkness." The one who is whole is filled with light, and the one who is fragmented is filled with darkness, is left in darkness, cannot hold together the light of it all. I think it's pretty evident where we can see how we live in a fragmented world these days, no different than those days, how we have forgotten who we are. How else could we perpetrate such atrocities against one another if we had not forgotten who we are? And so we look and we search. We search for our identity. We search for that which will give us meaning. We search for that which will quiet this clamoring, chattering within that keeps us spinning and turning. We search for that which our soul longs and calls us to. We are creatures that long for the light. We long for it physically as well as spiritually. Will you agree that it has been a hard winter? Amen. Now, it's not that it's been the coldest winter I've experienced here. There have been other winters where the thermometer drops lower, but it's been the longest winter I've experienced here. It seems like the days without the sun were endless, that we would go for such long stretches without seeing the bright sun pouring down upon our bodies, and it's a sunlight that our bodies crave as much as those plants needed to emerge out of the frozen earth. We too need the warming of our skin and the light. Our bodies know it, and our souls know it too. Our souls long for the light that will show us the way to this wholeness. Our bodies, our souls know of this craving that is within us. And some proclaim that Jesus is the one that brings this light, that brings the awakening, that brings the wisdom and the knowledge into our slumbered existence and wakes us up. Jesus accomplished that task on his earthly life by coming to know the God of all, the light of the universe. Jesus became one with the light of the universe. Jesus became the light. And in the Gospel of John, it goes on to say, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you." And the Father, the Creator of all, abides in us. There's a great unity of indwelling of all three in one. There is a message of the light of Christ that is in us as we awaken to the love of God and the light of God that dwells in us. Christ is our light. Christ, be our light. Lead us from darkness, from brokenness to wholeness, that we might be those that allow God's light to shine in this world. May it be so. Amen.